What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we have a very special guest in the house. We have a very fun topic, yet intimidating topic, to me especially, because I've been practicing some meditation with the new year. It's been a New Year's resolution for me, but I've been struggling. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to take some notes myself. This is a tool that can literally change your life. And I think, again, I'm really excited for myself to put this into practice to change my life because it's powerful. Yeah, it's very hard and challenging. So we're going to get some tips today. And we have an awesome guest in the house. Her name is Stephanie Campanelli. She's going to bring the energy here shortly. I can't wait. Stephanie is a wife of 25 years. She grew up in Detroit and went to Michigan State. She is a mother of two, her daughter Hannah, who is a dancer in LA, and Noah, who is a baseball player at St. John Fisher. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Hello.
She is certified in mindfulness, meditation, and Reiki. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. She recently started a new job at the new, is it Shotland?
You got it.
Family YMCA, where she raises money for their financial assistance program. Through their annual campaign. She's going to start teaching yoga and will begin subbing and teaching at studios around the area. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, welcome.
Yay. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we're connecting again.
This is awesome. It's been far too long. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about yourself, especially your hometown, because that creates a lot of spunk for you.
Mm-hmm. That's funny that you guys used to come to my yoga classes. I'm from Detroit, and the farther away you are from your hometown, the more you realize it really is a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I kept going to yoga classes in Detroit, and they were so different. And I said to my boss at the time, I think we need to bring this to Rochester. And we did it during a month-long yoga kind of festival, and it caught on, and I called it Detroit Yoga. And it really describes what Detroit is. It's gritty, it's down to earth, it's bring it, whatever you got, bring it out there, and don't hold back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, grittiness, I always think of Eminem. You know, he's part of that music that I played in that those classes that we ended up calling Yoga Jam. And it's fun. You know, I think you can lose yourself in that style of yoga, but what Detroit does for me is it was a great music upbringing between Motown and then, you know, Seeger and Nugent and now Eminem, and those are probably not great examples of the music that really comes out of Detroit, but that's what kind of, you know, brought me to who I am. Yeah. And very hardworking. The people there, my father, my mother, my brothers, I mean, we grew up at jobs as soon as we could get them, and it really developed my sense of work ethic as well. So I kind of brought myself up from the bootstraps through college, through New York, now into Rochester, just always looking for, you know, how to stay on top and how to work harder. So that's kind of who I am. And then there's a lot of grit that goes along with it and maybe some swear words along with it. So I hope I can keep it clean.
It is family friendly, but you do you.
Okay.
Let it
That's
fly
exactly.
If you need to.
You do you. Yeah, that's you how you. I feel about Detroit.
How did you get into yoga and meditation?
Well, I took my first yoga class in LA years ago, right out of college. And my friend and I giggled through the whole thing. We had to leave. And I wish I knew who the yoga instructor was because I bet they are someone like spectacular now. But we basically got kicked out because it's really hard to be still and quiet. And so
that's why I think this is funny with you talking meditation today. Because I'm like,
it's so needed.
You have so much energy and
it's
passion.
So
and
hard.
That Detroit class was crazy.
Well, yes, because you've got to sometimes get that out of you.
True.
To still down stillness, and it took me years to figure that out.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that. But I Midtown had a class when I was a member called Kundalini Yoga. It's a crazy style of yoga, and it's a really weird style to bring in as a beginner because there's a lot of root locks and breath work and chanting, and you know, you're talking about parts of your body that you don't normally talk about. So it went from 30 people to 5 people, but I stuck through the whole thing because I knew there was something there. And I remember the teacher saying, "What do you want to get out of this class?" And all I kept saying was peace. I just want peace. And I didn't know what that meant, but there was a word that stuck with me. Still does. I just got chills. And then they brought in other styles of yoga. And I was a aerobics instructor for years. And I remember taking a class with Randy Lattimore. And I said, "I want to do this." And she said, "Let's go." So I took a class called Anusara Yoga Teacher Training, and it's a different style of yoga that is no longer around because the guy imploded. And but this style is amazing because it talks about which one you love, which it talks about alignment in the body and anatomy, and it makes sure that no matter what you do, you're doing it in a way that's right for your body, and you take those practices and you can put it into anything. So that really spoke to me. And then I just started making my own style from there. And that's where Yoga Jam came from, and you know, my different style of yoga.
So you were a yogi first, and then the meditation came later because you recognized. And the meditation
came later. Yeah.
You needed that.
Yes, totally, totally. You realize when I was a yogi, my husband, if I missed a few days, he'd be like, "You really need some yoga," because he could see it in my attitude. And I knew there was something about yoga that was more physical. And that's, I think, why I wanted to learn more about it. And I also then knew about energy. Like, there's something about the way I move my body in space while I'm in yoga that feels really good. And that's what brought me into Reiki, because I'm like, I need to know more about the energy that's around me and how do I manipulate that and what does it mean? And, you know, I'm a learner. Like, I got to know, why do I feel this energy running through me? What can I do to channel that? And why does yoga make me feel so good? What is it about this movement that brings me into stillness? So all of those things just lead to things like meditation.
But yoga is so much more than movement. You're right. It's energy. Because we both work out at Burn Boot Camp, and that's a phenomenal workout. I love how I feel after that. But I couldn't do that every day, and yoga is such a good compliment.
Yes.
I feel like I miss yoga. If, if I take weeks off, I'm missing something.
Yeah.
So it's deeper.
You start getting pain and mentally as well as physically.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I just started doing it again, but I love it. I feel great.
Yeah.
The flexibility piece is really important for me, but it's probably deeper than that.
Well, it's grounding. You know, it does bring you to a place. And I move my yoga pose. My yoga class is different because I'm moving through postures. It's more of a sequence. I don't know if you remember. We go from one pose to the next pose, and it usually goes along with your breath. And
what I like best about your classes, though, the music was great.
Yeah.
But we faced the front of the room.
Yeah.
Then we faced the back of the room and back and forth.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
I like
move
that.
Around the room. And then I also let you flow on your own. There was a lot of that. And as I developed more of that yoga jam, there was a lot more of that that happened. Because I feel if you're constrained, you can't get to what you really need to get to. If you're being told what to do all the time, you'll never understand what it is that you need. And so, I mean, this is all through practice. The more individual I'm allowed to move within my own practice, the more I know I can get into that one little part of my hip, or get into my breath, or let my brain go. And so I allow that within my class. And that's why I get kicked out of Bikram all the time, because Bikram is a very set number of poses that you have to do in a certain sequence and look a certain way. And I remember going into child's pose and looking the wrong way. And the guy with the fake Indian accent would go, you turn your head the right way. And I was like, I am, because I have a neck issue right now. This is what feels best for me. And he got mad at me. And I'm like, you know what? That isn't what yoga is.
No.
Yoga is about understanding your body, what you need, getting in touch with yourself, becoming aware of what your needs are. And so whenever somebody tells me what to do, I usually run the other way. That's a personal problem. But I realize that there's something to be said for that too. And that's why I like my style of yoga. I teach my style of yoga because I think it connects with people in that way, so that you can connect with yourself.
Yoga aside now, this is going to be hard for us. Let's talk meditation.
Yes.
What is meditation?
Well, I was going to ask you that, but you said it in the beginning. I think meditation is scary, and I think it's something that we feel we have to do. And
it's a chore. I feel like it's a chore.
Yes.
And I'm not checking the box.
Yes.
because I'm going about it in the wrong
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And I was too. And so I didn't do it. And then I went to Erica's mindfulness certification at Balance, which she's doing another one in April. A little plug there, Erica. And we had to do 80 hours of meditation during this period of time. Like, okay. 80 hours. So, of course, I'm doing the math. How many minutes is that per day? And it turned out to be like 20 minutes per day. How do you ever meditate for 20 minutes a day?
No.
It's really hard.
I try to do 2 minutes.
Yes, exactly. So I remember being in week one or two, and I'm at a baseball game at Cornell, doubleheader, tripleheader with my son, and my husband was off somewhere, and I didn't know many people yet. And I'm sitting in the stands, and I'm freaking out about how am I going to get my 20 minutes in today? It's Saturday. I got to get, you know what? I missed yesterday, so I really got to get 40 minutes in. I'm at Cornell. I'm going to be here all day by the time I get home, and I'm doing this in my head. And all of a sudden, I look across the field. This is where everything kind of opened up for me, and I saw a tree. And I looked at that tree, and I'm like, man, that is beautiful. It's fall in Ithaca. And I'm like, that is beautiful. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is it. This is mindfulness. This is meditation. Wait. And it all happened for me. So I was like, it's about seeing, feeling, hearing, being present. It's about being in the moment. And it's not about meditation at all. Mm-hmm. It's not about sitting down and doing 20 minutes. It's about being present and in the moment. And so I sat there for 10 minutes and listened to the sounds of the football game next door in the next field, watched around me, felt the seat beneath me, listened to my breath, and I counted those 10 minutes. And then I took a yoga class a week later, and I was like, this is it. This is mindfulness. This is meditation. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with Erica, and I said, I struggle with this need to do meditation, but I feel like I'm being unmindful in this other way. And she said, that's it. And that's what mindfulness teaches you versus meditation. Like, meditation for me feels like something I have to do, where mindfulness becomes something that you become, that you're being. And so when you realize that being in the moment is meditation, then the rest kind of falls away. You're not as stressed about it anymore. And so I learned through this practice of silence for many hours and practice and techniques that there are different ways to get there. In the beginning, it was about movement because I am somebody who doesn't sit still very well. It's hard for me to settle. It's hard for me to
be. You're doing a good job right now.
We're about to go up and do some jumping jacks. But it's, but I've learned, I mean, even in this last 6 months, how much I've progressed, but I had to move in order to settle. And then I realized, no, I'm okay with that. Now I need to listen to my breath and feel my breath and how it affects me. And the practice is coming back. So it's okay to go your mind, because that's who we are. That's our brain. Mm-hmm. It's constantly moving. But you have to remember to bring it back. And then when you bring it back, notice what's going on. So I changed my way of looking at meditation, and Thich Nhat Hanh is great at this. He's like, when you brush your teeth, feel the bristles on your teeth, notice the water in your mouth, feel your feet as you're standing there. Don't think about what you have to do or where, 'cause that's anxiety. That's, right. You know, that's where anxiety and frustration and unhappiness comes when we're not in the moment, 'cause in the moment is really all we have. So.
And hold a hip hinge too. I hate that when people don't hip hinge, they just collapse into the countertop and they round their back. We don't think about it. I talk about daily activities when they're brushing their teeth, doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Use your body. Use your posterior chain.
Well, how about
instead of... shut the water off, because that's a waste.
How about instead of using your posterior chain, how about standing there and feel what it's like to be standing? And when I'm standing, because I'm body aware, because I'm a yogi, I'll be like, man, that really hurts my hip. If I bend my knee, I'll feel better. But noticing that my hip's hurting, if I bend my knee, it feels better. Oh, wow, that feels better. But being in that moment and not going, oh, Dr. Nate says I should work on my posterior back chain. No, how does it feel in my body right now? And how can I adjust it based on what
I know?
So
that's a form of meditation.
Yeah.
Being mindful, being present is the beginning of meditation.
It's part of it. They're kind of... the same thing. I don't use meditation anymore. I mean, that is a tool, but I don't think of it that term anymore. I think of it more as mindfulness.
Gotcha. So throughout the day, you're meditating.
Yeah.
Because you're being mindful.
If you are. Yeah.
Okay.
My job now is to interact with people. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be in that moment because I have to hear what they're saying to ask the next question, to direct them in a place that's going to help both me, the person I'm talking to, and my organization. So right. I can't do that if I'm not in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm practicing then too.
Why is it so good for us?
Because you can feel your reactions to things and you can begin to identify that feeling in your body, what your mind is doing, and then you can make a choice in that moment, whether you want to stay in that moment, stay mm-hmm. in that feeling, stay in that thought process. You know, that monkey mind, you can mm-hmm. stay there in that story we've always told ourselves and then how that affects your body and where that takes you, or you can choose to let it go and move on. You know, whether it's happiness or sadness or frustration or anger, those are all fleeting. It's what's going on right now that like allow you to appreciate it. Now, I'll give you a quick example. Is there one argument that you and your wife always have?
Yeah, pet peeves for sure. Now it's sleep. It's sleep deprivation, so we're just we're getting better. Violet's starting to sleep. I mean, there's little things that bother me that she does. Like, she'll leave, like, the cupboards open, and, like, I'm like, just put your stuff away.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a million things that I do that bother her.
Right. So,
That's a terrible example, but
no, it's not. That's a great example, actually, because, you know, what is it? Like, I have a sound issue, and so I'll be sitting with my husband on the couch, and, you know, the way he gulps or whatever, he can't help that. Mm-hmm. It could spiral me into stomping out of the room.
Mm-hmm. Because that's like, a good one. Yeah, the noise.
Stop drinking bumping into the counter when it's open.
I'll bring food to like watch Netflix and I'll be like celery and peanut butter, the loudest snack ever. And it drives her nuts. Yes. It would drive you nuts too, apparently.
Yes. So like something like that.
But why don't I just eat it in the kitchen real fast and then come out?
But that's kind of opposite of what I'm trying to, or like leaving something like, my husband never makes the side of the bed. Mm-hmm. It used to drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. He's never going to make his side of the bed, okay? Right. I can stay in that moment of being pissed that he doesn't make his side of the bed mm-hmm. or just realize he's not going to make it and move on. So that's a choice that I'm making either to stay in that spiral of I can't believe he never makes his bed. He's so lazy. He's story, mm-hmm. or notice that, oh my gosh, now that I'm brushing my teeth after I made his side of the bed, I'm really angry brushing my teeth. We're back to the brushing the teeth thing. But I could stay there being angry and then I go down for coffee and I'm not talking to him because he didn't make his side of the bed. It's never going to change.
Right.
But I can change the way I react to it. So I can change the way mm-hmm. I sit with him while he's eating his peanuts and celery or peanut butter and celery, you know, while we're watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. I can just let that go or I can stay in the moment. So what mindfulness has done for me is identified, wow, just 2 minutes ago I was really happy. Now I'm angry. What is that and why is that? And do I want to stay there? Or do I want to do it and let it ruin the rest of my day? Or do I want to move on? And that's what mindfulness has done for me.
Gotcha.
And that doesn't mean that meditation can't, but it's changed my way of like, I've got to sit and meditate for 10 minutes with nothing going on in my head, which is impossible to do mm-hmm. to clear your mind. But notice what comes up while you're sitting so that you can practice. That's a practice of when you're in real life.
This is
Does
good.
That make sense?
I'm glad we're going this direction because I didn't know what we're going to talk about today with meditation. I was like, I was just ready to take notes, but you're making it a lot simpler for me.
Yes. And we have to make it simple because meditation in itself, you know, you think about, I remember bringing in a Zen guy for one of my classes, Zen Buddhist guy from the house. I can't think of what the name of it is. In the city, and he was like, you have to sit cross-legged and look just 5 feet in front of you and you can't let anything think and there can be no sound.
Why?
And I'm like, exactly.
Right.
Why? If I can make tea and be in that moment of making tea and not go swirl around with the thoughts of my to-do list, that's meditation and mindfulness. And I'm capturing it in any way that I can. So an hour yoga class where it's just me and my yoga mat, man, that is the mm-hmm. best medicine, mm-hmm. as you know, for your mind and your body.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, I got to get up in 10 minutes and go sit in a quiet spot in my house where my kids aren't bothering me and I don't feel guilty about not helping my wife. And, you know, all those things run through your head. you can just find those little places throughout the day to take a moment.
I'm craving this right now because I got two little kids at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, they're growing up so fast.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss anything.
And that's the other part. But it's
this stupid thing, the cell phone.
Yeah.
Being a business owner. There's just so much on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting better mm-hmm. about batching things, getting mm-hmm. things done throughout the day. But mm-hmm. It's distractions. It's so much. So what are some actionable things for listeners that they can do to start a meditation or mindfulness practice?
Well, when you're with your kids, be with your kids. I mean, you hear it all the time, but that's a choice. That's mm-hmm. a mindful choice. I can either stay here and get down on the ground and be with my kid, putting his blocks one on top of the other, which is can be so aggravating when you have something to do. And I know that because I have a 19 and a 23-year-old, and I remember being like, oh, I got to clean the kitchen. No, you can clean the kitchen. It'll always be there.
It'll be there.
I'm going to sit here for 10 minutes and play with my kid. And
right.
that's a choice. Just as much as, you know, sitting down with an employee and wondering about all the things you have to do or being in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that when you do that, that's actually a better quality spent than, you know, worrying about what has to do next. So putting down your phone. I remember when the phone first came. Okay, I'm dating myself. When we first started having phones and I could physically tell the difference of my mind in a day that I spent a lot of time on my phone or computer. It was more my phone, I think, than I did if I made a conscious effort not to put my phone on. And now I'm on the phone all. I mean, do you ever go anywhere without your phone?
It's a little computer. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, you know, we always say, oh, we should put our phone down for 3 hours. That's not going to happen. So we have to figure out ways to stay present, to be present, to be mindful. And it's not as hard as we make it out to be.
What about time of day? Is it better to do this in the morning, like first thing, or are we looking at it the wrong way then? I'm looking at it more like a chore.
Yeah.
Like waking up first thing, sit down, get my thoughts on paper, journal.
I'm all about habits.
Prayer.
So if that's something that you do, if you're praying, if you're journaling, you're mindful. That's your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my daughter journals. She's a big journaler. And when she's stressed, I'm always like, when's the last time you journaled?
Mm-hmm.
Will she sit down and meditate? Absolutely not. But will she sit down and journal in a quiet space in a coffee shop and be there in that moment? Yeah, that's her mindfulness. And we all got to find those ways that are best for us. So if it's prayer, if it's, you know, listening to just some calming music for 10 minutes or going for a walk. Walking is huge. It was not my favorite form of mindfulness when we practice it during the training. To go out and walk, I find that very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta worry about my feet. I gotta worry about my breath. Oh, what's going on? Oh, look, a bird. And that's all okay because you're noticing those things, but it wasn't my favorite form. Cooking, being in my recipe, that can be very relaxing and mindful for me.
And you can have music on doing this stuff.
Yeah, it's what works for you.
Right.
It's if you can start identifying the thoughts as they come in and out,
mm-hmm.
That's being aware. Like I gotta get you this quote because I think it's really appropriate, and it's John Kabat-Zinn, which is an MBSR beginner. He's the one who really brought all this to a medical standpoint and is letting people understand the benefits of it. Like you said, it's life-changing. It is. And he wrote a lot of great books. He also has a lot of meditation practices. I was just listening to a mindfulness talk he did at Google. Super cool. But he said that mindfulness means paying attention in a particular way on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking about money with my husband, I get super anxious. And it took me mm-hmm. a long time to realize why I can't talk to him about money. And whenever I think about money, it gives
your
me
upbringing?
Anxiety.
Is that why?
Yeah, because my parents always fought about money. And it took me 25 years of marriage to finally sit down and go, wow, it's not the money. It's the conversation about the money that I'm nervous about. And what is it brings up so much tension in my body that I literally cannot have a conversation with my husband about money because I am so tied up. And it's through this practice of going, oh, I'm anxious. Oh, I'm tight. Oh, my brain, that I realized it's not him. It's mm-hmm. not money. It's just what I'm bringing to the table. It's those stories. But if you're not practicing and unaware, you'll never hear that. You'll never feel that. You'll never know. And if we're constantly on our phones and if we're constantly moving and if we're constantly doing versus being, we're never going to feel that. We're never going to.
I had this conversation with Kirsten last week about money, and it's made up. Money's made up, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
a group of guys, whenever, hundreds of years ago, just said, this paper is going to have value. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And they told people about it. And it just spread.
And now we're not even spreading that. Yeah. We're just sharing our
phones. Well, back in the day, they would trade berries or whatever, hunters-gatherers, and now it's just money means everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just made up.
So much anxiety. Yeah. But
it's a tool, and it can get you ahead in life, and it can give you a lot of amazing things and allow you to travel and do some amazing things. But at the end of the day, it's like,
it's just money.
Where's your mindset with money? Yeah,
but I couldn't even talk to him about it, you know, and that's awful to be in a marriage and not be able to do that. And it had nothing to do with any of those things you're talking about, because we live well and we've earned it and we've worked hard and we have a great house and our kids are, you know, get great things as a result of it. But to actually sit down and talk about it was really stressful. And
how is it now? A lot better?
It's been better. I mean, it's only been a few months since I've been going through this practice with Erica that I've been more aware of. Staying in that moment of how I feel, which was all stories in my head. And now being able to sit down and go, okay, we're going to talk about money. This is cool. It's just me, him, money. It's not my parents. It's not my history. It's the budget. Like, just sit down and talk about it. So, but choosing to be there or not to be there is part of it. And not being judgmental about where your mind is going or how your body is feeling or, you're just like, oh, hey, being curious about what's happening when you're being mindful, where your mind is going when you're being mindful. What does that mean?
Any apps or other resources to make it less intimidating to be mindful, to meditate?
Yeah.
And that's more of a meditation question, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's so many apps
out there. That's okay, because once you learn the practice of mindfulness and you figure out, like, what works for you, what works for me is focusing on my breath. And then one of the guys in my class, actually Erica's cousin, Dominic, he was teaching one day for us, and he said, every time my mind wanders, I will say, come back. And so he had us use that as a technique. So you're sitting, you're meditating, you're focusing on breathing or the sound or whatever's around, and when the mind wanders, you go, come back. So you find a place to hook you back into that that place. So you find what works for you, and you can use anything. You can use the silence. You can use the sounds outside. You can use music. But a great, great tool that I've always used, even when I wasn't going through a mindfulness practice, is Insight Timer. And I know there's a lot of different ones. I think my daughter uses Calm. Insight Timer you can use for free. You can't pause, I think. I think there's some weird things that you can't get unless you're premium, but I've never had a problem. And you can search. Like, so let's say it's morning and I really want a nature meditation. I'll put in nature. And there will be different time limits. So I'm like, I'm a 12 minute max meditator. So I can find a time around there. And I'm telling you, if it's a 20-minute meditation at 12, I start getting antsy. It just what my body is. So I look for around 12 minutes. Whether it's what I think I want to do, or now I'm searching MBSR or mindfulness, or maybe you want music, or maybe you want a guided meditation, or you know, there's so many different styles of meditation. You just find what works for you, and it's all on Insight Timer. It's super
for free.
For free. Nice. I don't pay for anything. So that's, I mean, it's easy. It's an easy one. Once you get to, you know, this certain buttons, but.
So what does your meditation practice look like? You just said 12 minutes max. What else? Where is it? Time of day?
I can get up, and I like to keep a pair of headphones next to my bed.
Okay.
Set up in my bed or lay, depending on what I feel. I'll put on Insight Timer, or I also, Tara Brock also has a few like 6-week courses that you can follow. I'll put hers on, and she's a mindfulness meditation teacher. So she takes you through the techniques that I learned through Erica, and put my headphones in and I'll just listen. And then it really does change your day. It sets you up for noticing. It sets you up for non-judgment. It sets you up for awareness. It sets you up for present moment. It sets you up for choice. And so that's a good technique. I'll also take myself downstairs. We have a little yoga room, a little workout area. When I feel like the house is a little more insane, turn all the lights off so no one knows I'm down there. I use music or the Insight Timer. If I know I'm not going to be bothered, I can sit for 10-12 minutes and just focus on my breathing, but that's rare. I'm easily distracted, so.
You need to move, yeah.
And then there's yoga. There's, Erica does a great class at Balance that is on Sunday mornings where she does an hour of yoga and then 15 minutes meditation or mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And that's a great combination. And I know there's a lot of places who do this. I know that Breathe has some meditation. The Y definitely has mindfulness practices before and after some of their yoga classes. So there, it's there. You just have to search it out and believe that it's not that hard.
Right.
It's as easy as sitting and noticing. And
just
and,
start.
And non-judgmental.
Just apply.
And it's,
just
know
start
that it's,
doing and feeling and
bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing mm-hmm. it back. And it doesn't hurt to listen a little bit about mindfulness or read about it. There's a lot of great stuff about it, but it's probably the easiest. Was more approachable for me than just thinking about, I got to sit down and meditate today. Mm-hmm. That seems more daunting, like you said at the very beginning of the podcast.
Right.
It's scary. I don't have time.
It right? is.
Mm-hmm. So tonight when you're playing with your kids yes. or you're talking with your wife or you're mixing bowl of cereal for your kids, pour the milk, listen to it hit the bowl, mm-hmm. listen to the spoon hit the bowl, give it to your kid, eat mindfully.
Right.
All of those things bring you into the moment.
Cool. Anything else on meditation or mindfulness that you want to share before we switch gears and talk about you
oh,
and your new job? And
no, I think, like you said, you just got to start and not beat yourself up. Do I meditate every day? No. Do I feel that I'm mindful every day? Yes. And be easy on yourself. This mm-hmm. It's not an easy environment to time to live in for being mindful, but we need it now more than ever. I mean, sure. our kids are ADD for a reason.
Yeah.
We're ADD for a reason.
For sure.
And we need to find
I'm
ways to
ADD.
Ground ourselves.
Yeah, I need to work on that.
But to
a lot
know,
of people are, you're right.
To know when you're losing that sense of focus is part of the practice of mindfulness.
I have a tool now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my takeaways today are simplify it. Simplify mm-hmm. and think of it more as mindfulness mm-hmm. than meditation.
Yeah.
That really helped me.
Yeah.
It did, because yeah. I didn't meditation. I'm like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Like, that's intimidating.
I'm going to do it for 30
yeah.
days.
Exactly. And I did it for maybe 18 in January, and then I stopped. Yeah. I had the journal. I was checking the box. And
see,
I was getting nothing from that.
I have like 12 journals that have got two sentences
that's
in
not me.
Each of them. I can't journal. I'm not. My daughter no. will do pages and pages, and that works for her. But for me, it's
I want to meditate with my kids.
Mm-hmm. You can
I can't
teach
wait
them.
To do that. Yeah. yeah.
How old are they?
2.5 and 8 months.
But you can teach them to breathe, and you can, especially when they're like freaking out,
mm-hmm.
you know, just teach them to breathe
mm-hmm.
and teach them to not stay in that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, of crying or whatever it is.
It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
Address let's just, it.
Yeah. Let's just breathe. And yeah. And let's move on. We could do that too when we're having a hissy fit, right?
Absolutely. Too much.
I never cry.
So where are you working these days? Tell us about your job.
At the Y, the new Shotland Y, which is so cool. My first week there, I pulled the CEO to the side and I said, his name is George Rommel. And I was like, George, you're changing the way people look at the Y. Have you been there yet?
I have not.
Okay.
My wife has.
It's a destination.
I need to get there.
A lot of people are going because it's the hot new thing and people are coming
from. I'm gonna wait a
couple months. Yeah. It's calming down. It's definitely calming down. And I think as the weather starts changing, it'll be better. But it's a beautiful place to work in terms of the facility. And there's so much light and openness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really created, somebody grabbed me last night, a couple were working out and we were talking and they said, thank you so much for bringing this here because it's really become a place for our community to come and be and work out and sit and relax and be social.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then a little kid runs by and we're like, oh, you know, and so it's all of that. It's the connection of all age groups,
right.
all walks of life, all abilities in one place. And you don't realize you need that until you see that. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be that one day. Or wow, look at my neighbor who can have so much more access to working out now because of the way they set up the upstairs and the deaf population. It said, you know, the wide walkways are so important for deaf people. I don't know if you know this.
Hmm.
But the hot, wide hallways are very important for them when they're talking to one another, the deaf population, because they look at the whole body when they're talking. Ah. When we're talking, we can talk a few feet away. They need several feet away. And so they appreciate the wide walkway. I mean, things that were put into place that you and I would never pay attention to, but someone with a different ability finds really accessible. So I know we're doing good work there, and that feels super cool. And I'm raising money to, I'm coordinating efforts to raise money for our community at Shotlin to bring anyone into the facility that may need financial assistance. So even though we're in Pittsford, we still have a community need, and moving 3 miles down the road, we quadruple the number of financial aid requests. So we know that we're hitting a bigger community, and we know that we're hitting a bigger need. And so I'm happy to be a part of helping to appreciate all of the things that that woman and I were talking about last night, the social aspect, the physical aspect, the community aspect.
Yeah.
The spiritual aspect of just being in a good place. So
I can tell you're jazzed up. You're loving it.
I've never been happier working for someplace before. It's a great company to work for too. The Y is really well run.
Kirsten, did you hear that?
I know. You should come. I'll hook you up.
How can listeners connect with you online?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, and not really on Twitter, but what do you do when you troll, when you look at everybody else's stuff and you don't really do anything on Twitter?
I never dabbled with Twitter. I don't know.
Well, sports.
It's
really big with sports. And if you want to like get some really good dirt on the latest political tweets, if you know what I mean.
Right, news, information, yeah.
No, that one guy. Sorry.
We'll keep that one out of this.
But on Instagram, I think I'm Camp Steph. It's Camp Steph, CAMPSTF is my handle there. You'll see a lot about my kids there because I'm a very proud mom. I also do a lot with the Y now, and I retweet a lot of their stuff because of the good work, repost. Now that I'm starting up yoga, all you Y folks out there, I'm starting Friday the 13th at 6 a.m. Teaching at the Y, and then I'm going to be teaching at Balance. They're putting me on the schedule there.
Right here in Webster.
Right here in Webster.
Nice. Where life is worth living.
Yes. I am actually really liking Webster, being out here so much with that training. And then I do a lot of workshops and retreats with Fly Yogascapes. And so I'm going to continue with that. Two retreats in Ithaca in this summer. One is sold out in July. The other, August. We're doing an October and a January one as well. And I might have an opportunity for some other things down the road that I really can't talk about. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah,
awesome.
I decided, to do more workshoppy things. And so it's fun.
And shout out to Erica Ebert. She's on episode 15. We talked about neuroplasticity. She's brilliant.
She's brilliant. You want to talk to your kids and how to do mindfulness. She's really brilliant with the kids too, and adults.
So check that episode out, guys. Final question.
Yes.
You ready?
Yeah.
If you have a friend coming to Rochester who's never been here, where are you taking them?
I used to say Wegmans, but you know where I'm going to say now?
The YMCA.
Yeah, it's the place to be.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Do they have food there? Different. Where are you going to eat?
Java's has a little smoothie place. It's not lunch, but you can bring food there. We don't hold anyone back from that. Just so you know, it's the second largest Y in the United States. So
really?
Yeah, it really is. I know that. Mm-hmm. It's the length of a football field. So it's just cool because there's something there for everyone. Mm-hmm. My dad would really appreciate the socialization. My father-in-law would appreciate the walking through the water. My mom would appreciate the pools. My kids come and work out on the e-gym. And so there is something for if you have a teenager or a tweenager, that's the place to be as well, because there's somewhere for them to go there. So there, and Strong Museum. Mm-hmm. Do you love it there?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I wish I had young kids. Yeah. I used to say, if anybody has kids there, and then if you want a good meal, good luck. Mm-hmm. And I like next door too. My husband and I have been doing the happy hour.
Good sushi.
Good sushi at the bar. You get half price sushi and wine and beer. So we go there like the old people dinner at 5:30.
Life is good in Rochester.
Yeah.
It's a lot to do.
There's a lot to do in Rochester. And of course, the ballet and Rochester City Ballet, shout out. And then the Philharmonic. Those are all good things, so.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for your time. You're super busy.
Really appreciate it. I appreciate your time.
But this is good. We need to get this out there.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I encourage you guys to simplify meditation. Mm-hmm. Let's start thinking of it as mindfulness. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to play tonight. I'm going to stack some blocks. Cool. I'm just going to have fun with my girls.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks again. Appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank you guys tuning in. I hope you got a lot of value. I know I did. Took some notes. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Hope you're having a great day. Talk soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me, info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram, @DR.Driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.